a joy to be here tonight, and I appreciate that good testimony, brother. That stirred my soul. I appreciate folks that you don't have to pump them and prime them to get them ready to worship. I like folks that come to the house of God ready to worship. I wish I could say I've always went ready myself, but I wouldn't be telling the truth if I told that. And so all of us, we could learn a lesson. I've often said this, a preacher can't preach unless he is prepared to preach. He has to spend time in preparation. I wonder what the results of the preaching would be of a preacher that prepares if the congregation would prepare as much to receive it as the preacher does to preach it. Amen. Is that all you told me to say? I think that... Okay. Amen. No, that's from my experience. Many times I'm afraid we're not ready to receive what God has for us. But I trust we are this week, and I pray God will help us and bless us. I enjoyed the meeting last night, and I felt like I met a whole bunch of new friends in Wilkesboro, North Carolina last night. I went home and told my wife, I said, I didn't hardly know a soul there except for the preacher. And there's a couple back here from my friends from over, live up this way, but I know them from the Ashe County area. But anyway, I said, I didn't know a soul there, good sized crowd. And I said, that's odd, as close as I am to home. But I said, they're my kind of people, my kind of church, and I appreciate that. I hope I'm your kind of preacher. Amen. And I pray that the Lord will help us, that we'd preach our way into your heart. Preacher asked me about singing. I might try to sing one for you. I'm not going to do too much singing, Lord willing, unless something happens on Friday night. I think my family might be able to be here with me to sing. So it's a whole lot better when they're with me and somebody playing everything for me. But anyway, I'll try to do a song. This is a song I wrote. Most of the stuff we sing is stuff that I've written down through the years, and wrote this song one Saturday. I was... As a pastor, sometimes you get overwhelmed by the problems that you've confronted with, problems that people are facing. You're trying to help solve problems for people and trying to carry burdens for people. And it's one of them Saturdays that it seemed like everywhere I looked, somebody was in trouble, somebody needed help. This one over here has got a situation, and I couldn't fix none of it. And I was so overwhelmed that day. I finally went to my place of prayer. And I just really, I guess, vented to God. I said, God, I don't understand why you're doing all this. This one's in trouble over here. This one over here's messed up. This one over here's upset. And I said, I don't understand all about that. And I just vented to God as I prayed. And it's almost like after I got done, he said, are you through now? And I said, yeah. I said, well, what are you going to do about it? And he said, this is what you should have done all along. You should have brought it all to me. And I went back in the house and I wrote this song titled, Bring It All to Him. And maybe you've got something you need to bring to him this week. And I'm glad he'll help you if you do. And you pray for him as I try to. I'm not the piano player in the family. My wife plays. But I'll try to get through this tonight.
Me, I feel so overwhelmed when it seems the more I'm trying that my troubles seem to swell. When I've reached the end of me and my faith is growing dim, I hear a still voice whisper, just bring it all to Him. I just bring it all to Him. When no understands, when you're looking for an answer, God always has a plan. When the burdens get so heavy and your sight is getting dim, oh, it sure is good in knowing that I can bring it all to Him. In the throne room of my Savior, I find a sweet relief. I find strength to bear my burdens. I find comfort for my grief when my cup is overflowing. As he fills it to the brim, what a blessed consolation when I bring it all to him. I just bring it all to him when no one understands. When you're looking for an answer, God always has a plan. When the burdens get so heavy and your sight is getting dim, oh, it sure is good in knowing that I can bring it all to him. Boldly at the throne of God, just fall down on your knees. He will hear your trouble cry and meet your every need. If you'll bring it all to him when no one understands, when you're looking for an answer, God always has a plan. When the burdens get so heavy and your sight is getting dim, oh, it sure is good in knowing that I can bring it all to him. When the burdens get so heavy and your sight is getting dim, oh, it sure is good in knowing that I can bring it all to him.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I trust that song was a blessing. And I will say this. Preacher asked me if I had I got some of my family's music out in the front out there. And most of the songs on all the CDs we have out there are songs that I've written down through the years. And the Lord's blessed me to never started out to be a songwriter. It kind of happened by accident, I guess you'd say. I was one of the first songs I ever wrote. I wasn't a preacher at that time. I hadn't surrendered the call to preach. But I was working, I worked in the supermarket business, worked for 17 years for the Harris Teeter supermarket chain. And I was at work that day, I was discouraged as I could be, and I was stocking groceries on the dog food aisle. You cannot make this stuff up. And that day, it seemed like the old enemy came by where I was at, and I was doing my best to serve the Lord, and I'd rededicated my life to God, And I was doing my best to serve the Lord. We'd started trying to sing a little bit. And the old accuser of the brethren, you know how he is. You ought to be ashamed of some of the stuff you've done in your life. I had to agree with him that day. But I said, I am ashamed of some of the things I've done, but I'm not ashamed to stand and say that I love Jesus. And when I said that, some words started coming in my head. I grabbed a piece of cardboard and I pinned them down. I took it home that day and told my wife, I said, I think I've wrote a song. Let's see if we can put some music to it. And we had sung it all those years. And back in 2006, a preacher friend of mine, Brother Joe Arthur, most of you probably know Brother Joe Arthur, he heard us sing it, and he asked me, he said, have you ever give that song to anybody? I said, I ain't never tried to. I said, we've just sung it, and all around our area up there, choirs were singing it and things. And he said, I've been doing some work with the Inspirations Quartet, and I could hear them fellas singing that. And you care if I'd pitch it to them? I said, I wouldn't care a bit. And next thing I knew, Brother Archie Watkins was on the phone with me, and he said, Preacher, we'd like to record your song if you don't care. I said, you don't care? I said, I'd be honored for you to record it. And the Inspirations recorded the song, I'm not ashamed to stand and say that I love Jesus. And they recorded it, and it was a top 10 song in Southern gospel music that year in 2006, and it was wrote on the dog food aisle of a grocery store. Amen. That just goes to show you God can do anything he wants to, anywhere he wants to. And so from that point on, I've been trying to write a few songs, and the Lord's blessed me. The Inspirations have done several of my songs and other groups as well. But I just appreciate the Lord letting me have part in his work. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Psalm chapter number 85. Psalm chapter number 85 tonight. And I want to give you a simple thought from the Word of God. Psalm chapter number 85. Very familiar scripture. Psalm chapter number 85. dealing with the subject of revival. The Bible says in Psalm chapter number 85 and verse number 1, the Bible says this, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And I pray, God, that you'd touch it tonight. And Lord, would you help us as we stand before this people? God, that we might be a blessing to someone here tonight. May you speak to the very need of some heart. And Lord, I know all of us tonight, as your children, we need you to touch us tonight. God, we need a stirring. We need a refreshing. We need a reviving in our hearts and lives. Lord, our communities need revival. Our churches need revival. Our nation needs revival tonight. And God, I ask you now that you'd speak to every heart that's here. And Lord, meet every need that's in this place. And God, we'll give you praise for all you do. Thank you for all you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, we ask it tonight. Amen and amen. Here in the Word of God, the psalmist is pleading with God, and he is reminding God of some of his former mercies that he has shown to his people. And he comes down after he has reminded God of how he had forgiven their sin and how he had been with them and had been favorable unto them. He comes in verse 4 and says, Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. And then he comes down in verse number 6, is where I really want to focus tonight. Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? In this one verse, we find several things about revival. First of all, we see the real source of revival. He said, Wilt thou? You see, if any revival comes, it'll not come through our program. It will not come through our methods. It will not come through anything that we can produce. If I could produce revival for every individual here tonight, I would do it. But the fact of the matter is, revival comes from Him. I mean, revival is when the Spirit of God rushes into the body that's threatening to become a corpse, is what one writer said. And we know the real source of revival. It's not in a man. It's not in a method. It's not in the best singing we can get. Revival's not found in that, but it's found in Him tonight. I see the real source. Wilt thou, he says, wilt thou, God? And then I see the recipients. He said, Wilt thou not revive us? Boy, it's us that needs it, isn't it? I don't know about you. It's us up at Dyson Grove. It's you down here at Pleasant Grove. I'm glad. Listen, wherever God's people are, we need revival. If I find somebody that don't need it, that's going to be a red letter day, because I'll tell you one thing right now. About everywhere I go, we need a good dose of it. We need a good sweeping of the power of the Holy Spirit upon our churches. I mean, I go to church. I preach churches every week of my life. Good folks in the pews, preachers that preach right. But boy, I tell you what we're sorely lacking is the breath of a holy God moving among His people. But I promise you this, He's not a respecter of persons. And I'm glad, praise God, if He's done it for previous generations, He'll still do it for this generation. Hallelujah to His name. I see the recipients of revival, and then I see the reoccurring need of it. I wish I could tell you we could schedule a meeting like this, Brother Hayworth, and this week, these 5 nights, we'll have revival, and you won't need another one till Jesus comes. I wish I could tell you, but it don't work that way. We're living in a world you can have a good meeting on Sunday, and by Wednesday night, the world's done knocked it out of you. I mean, now on the job, just we're like Lot was. We're vexed by the conversation of the wicked every day, seems like, in the public arena. And boy, you can be on the mountaintop on Sunday shouting the glory, but by Wednesday night, you're dragging in needing a refill. Hallelujah.
But can I say, the psalmist said, "Will thou not revive us again?" If he's done it one time, he'll do it again. Amen. And then I see the real response of revival. What will happen when real revival comes? He said, "Will thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in their church building?" He didn't say that they might rejoice in their music program, even though it may be good. He said, if real revival comes, they'll go to bragging on Jesus again. When real revival comes, it'll be all about Him, and it won't be about us. I began to study revival one day, and I looked at, as I began to read in the book of Acts, that early church there, if there's a picture of a church that was experiencing revival and a moving of God's Spirit in such a mighty way, it was that first church in the book of Acts. And I began to read some things about that church, and I saw a reoccurring theme in the book of Acts. I was reading there one day about the unity that they had in the house of God. In Acts 2, verse 46, the Bible said, "Continuing daily with one accord in the temple." I read where they preached and teach the Word of God in Acts chapter 5, verse 42. "And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ." I read in Acts 2, 47, where He added to the church daily such as should be saved. I read in Acts chapter 6, when they chose the first deacons out, the reason they chose them was because some were being neglected in the daily ministration, what the Bible said. In Acts 16:5, the Bible said, "And so were the churches established in faith and increased in number daily." There was a word that kept popping up in everything that was going on in that first church in the book of Acts, and it was the word daily. I thought about, praise God, we're expecting revival to come. And we think it's going to come in a week, or we think it's going to come at a set time of the year. But really, when revival comes, is on a daily basis in your everyday walk with Christ. I was getting ready to go to church several years ago. One morning, I was there in the bathroom getting ready to go to church. My wife, of course, was getting ready as well, getting ready to get ready. And I was there just thinking about the service we was getting ready to have that day. And you know, it don't take men long to get ready to go to church. We're not as complicated as the ladies are. They got a lot of stuff they got to do to get ready. They look, men don't care how they look, but ladies like to look nice, and I'm glad that they do, praise the Lord. But anyway, that day I was getting ready, and I noticed on my side of the cabinet, when I'm getting ready, just a little handful of stuff there. And on my wife's side's got all this stuff, you know, how they got. Some of that stuff looked like torture devices to me, I'll be honest with you. And she had all kinds of things and the sprays and had all that. And I noticed something sitting on the cabinet. I was looking at something my wife had, and I picked it up. Matter of fact, it was made by the Avon company. This company does not make this product anymore. But that day when I saw that, I said, I've got to have that bottle, and I'm going to keep it. Matter of fact, I've kept it all those years. I would not let her have it back. Like I said, they don't even make it anymore, but I brought it with me tonight. And I got it in my pocket, and I wanted to share. I'm preaching on this subject tonight. And preacher, I want you to help me. I want you to look at what the name of this product. Get your glasses and tell me what the name of that product is.
Daily Revival.
Daily Revival. I said, I have been going all over the country preaching my heart out, trying to see God bring revival, and all this time they put it in a bottle. I said, I had no idea that they put it in a bottle. I said, praise God, we don't need a small bottle like this. I said, get it by the 50-gallon barrel and bring it to the church, put it in a sprinkler system so that when they come in on Sunday, we can give them a good shot of it. Amen. I got news for you. Revival don't come in a bottle, but it does come out of a book. And I'm glad it does come out of a Savior who's willing to send revival to His people. I got to looking at this product, and the things it described that it did was fascinating to me. Number one, they said if you use this, it is a refreshing product. Let me tell you something right now. We need a little refreshing every now and then. Sometimes we need refreshing in the choir. Sometimes we need refreshing in the Sunday school department. Sometimes we just need refreshing in our own personal praise life. Amen. But I'm glad for the times of refreshing will come, hallelujah, from the throne of God. Every now and then you can come in as stale as you can be. But I'm glad the sweet Holy Spirit will come by your pew. And the next thing you know, you feel like you've been refreshed. Hallelujah. I was reading on this, reading about this product, and it said this too, that it rejuvenates. That's an awful big word for somebody from Mountain City. So I had to look up what rejuvenate means. And it basically held this meaning. It makes the old look new again. I said, hallelujah. That's exactly what a daily revival will do in your life. Oh, you say, but they sang them same old songs in the choir. Oh, that preacher, he preached about the same thing every Sunday. I promise you this, if you experience a daily revival in your life, they can sing the same song over and over again, but it'll sound like you're hearing it for the first time. There's been, I probably throughout my life, and you have too, I've sung Amazing Grace more than any song down through the years. But boy, I tell you what, when you get a daily revival going in your life, and you hear them singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. It'll be like you're hearing it for the first time all over again. Hallelujah. I'm glad the old can look new again when we have a daily revival. This also said it rejuvenates, but it restores as well. I was driving to the hospital one day. Me and my wife were going to visit someone in Johnson City at the medical center down there. And I'm not a big car guy. These Chevy fellas, they like to aggravate me because I drive a Ford. These Chevy preachers, and I think there's one here in this church, from what I understand, a Chevy preacher that drives a Toyota. Yeah. If I was a Chevy man, I'd drive a Toyota too, praise God. Amen. At least I'd know I'd get there, praise God. Amen. But anyway, I was driving down the road, and all of a sudden there was a car passed by me on the road, and that thing was shining like new money. And it wasn't that impressive because it was a brand new car. It was probably a late 40s, early 50s model, and that thing looked like it had just come off the assembly line. I looked at my wife. I said, great, they look at that car right there. That's impressive. You know the reason it was impressive? Wasn't because that it had just come off the assembly line. You see, that car had been on the journey a long ways. Amen. And no doubt the journey had taken a toll on it. But the reason it looked like it did, it had an owner who believed in restoration. Amen. Well, I'm glad we have a Savior tonight. The journey takes a toll on us. Sometimes the journey knocks some dent in the paint. Sometimes the journey causes some things to be loosened and things to not be like they one time was. But I'm glad there's a God. David said this. He said, Lord, he said, if you would restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Can I say to you, I'm glad there's a God. No matter what the journey may have done to you, no matter, you may be sitting here tonight and say, well, I sure wish I could get my joy back. You can tonight. Or I sure wish I could get some peace back in my life. You can tonight. And I tell you what it's going to take. It's going to take every day in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, experiencing revival in your own life and in your own heart. Amen. I've said this, you can have revival whether anybody else does or not. You see, we've been sitting around waiting on the whole body at the same time to have a revival. And most of the time, that ain't going to happen. Because some of them ain't going to have revival. They don't want no revival. They're not interested in no revival. But that don't mean you can't have it. Amen. I thought about it. It said it rejuvenates, it refreshes, and it restores. I began to look further into what this product does. And I found this out. They said if you apply this on a daily basis, it helps remove the dirt.
Oh my. Amen.
You see, our skin gets, we're living in a world where our pores get clogged, and they said this will remove that buildup in your skin. It'll, if you apply this on a regular basis, it'll be. It says it's a gentle cleanser. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, there's a lot of times we get dirty. We don't mean to.
Right.
We're living in a dirty world.
Right.
You just walk through. Sometimes you'll bump up against it. And the next thing you know, there'll be that little separation and fellowship between you and God. And you're wondering what it is. Well, what you need is a daily revival to get the dirt out of your life.
Amen.
Get those things that's not pleasing to God. Amen. Now, don't look at me like nobody has none of that in your life, or you don't have the possibility of having that in your life. There's times you know when you feel close to Him and you know when you don't. You know when there's something, it may not be something atrocious that's caused that separation of fellowship. But boy, I'll tell you one thing right now. There ain't nothing like feeling clean just like you was when you first got saved. Amen. I'm glad He said if we'd confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. I heard this. A preacher friend of mine, he said one day, he said after church, he said I'd preached that morning. Preacher friend of mine, Brother Charles Worley. Brother Worley said this, a dear friend, and he said he was getting ready to go to church that night, and he said he looked at his wife and said, Francis, do you think it's sure to be all right for me to wear again tonight? He said, I didn't get too riled up this morning. And she looked at him and she said, Charles, if it's doubtful, it's dirty. Amen. Can I say to you, praise God, if it's doubtful, it's dirty. And sometimes we just need the Lord to cleanse us. We just need God. We just need God. We need to fall down at His feet and say, Lord, here I am again. I just need You to clean me up real good. I just need You to get me back to where I can praise You and worship You. I just need to get back to where the Spirit's flowing freely in my life. Hallelujah to His name. And I tell you how you're going to do that. You've got to get the dirt out. And He's the only one that can do it. Number two, I read on here that this will remove not only the dirt, but it'll eliminate the dryness. You see, your skin cells get dry, dry, flaky skin. And this, if you apply it, this is a moisturizer as well. And it'll eliminate that dryness. I've known a few Baptists down through the years that needed the dryness eliminated in their life. Do you remember when you first got saved? Somebody could just mention Jesus and you'd go to squalling. I mean, they didn't have to pump you and prime you to get you to testify. I love to see them young Christians. We got an old boy up at our church just got saved about 6 weeks ago. He's a young man. I've been out in the world, messed his life up. But boy, I'm telling you what, that just to watch him in services on Sunday, stuff that most of our crowds done got over a long time ago. He's just sitting there like just, it's the most fascinating thing he's ever seen in his life.
Yeah.
Just bubbling over, just can't help but testify. I said, boy, wouldn't it be great if all of us should get that first love back again.
Amen.
Like we one time did over in the book of the Revelation. He told him, he said, I have somewhat against thee because you've left your first love. You know how he told him he's going to get it back? He said, go back and do the first works again. He said, that stuff you used to do when you first got saved, that stuff that those things that you used to do when you were hungry for God, he said, if you'll go back to those things, you can get that first love back, praise God. Oh, that dryness. I remember back when I was just a young preacher, man, I'll tell you what, I didn't have no problem going to church dry. We'd get out, I remember some preacher boys, we'd get together and have all-night prayer meetings, and man, we'd pray. That's all, it seemed like all we wanted to do is be somewhere in a prayer meeting or something like that. And there wasn't no problem with us going to church on Sunday and sitting there dry after you've been praying all week long.
Yeah.
I remember one Saturday night we got together and a bunch of preacher boys, we all piled up in a car. One of the boys that was with us, he said, we're all hungry for revival. We don't see God send revival to our area. And he said, let's go to every church in this county and let's get on the property and let's pray for revival for them. On a Saturday night, I said, that sounds good to me.
Yeah.
So we did that. We got in the car and we traveled to every church we could find, everyone we knew. Man, we prayed for every church, prayed for every preacher. We just found a place on the property where we could pray. We had the awfulest time you've ever seen. We had prayed. It was getting late at night. It was about 10:30, 11 o'clock, somewhere along in there. We were coming back into Mountain City, and we were there as a bunch of Baptist preacher boys. But one of the boys with us, his mother, attended another church. She was actually a member. There's one little church of God in our county. Don't usually have but about 25 people. Never was a big church or anything, but his mother went to that church. And he said, boys, he said, reckon we could go by the Church of God and pray. I said, well, I guess they need revival too, praise God. So we pulled up to the Church of God at about 11:30 at night, and the funniest thing happened. Out in front of the church, they've got a lighted sign, and the preacher was standing there changing the letters on the sign at 11:30 on a Saturday night. We pulled up, rolled down the windows, and I know he thought we was going to rob him or something. And we looked at him and said, hey, preacher, he had the lights on in the church. We're preachers. I said, we've been out praying. I said, and we feel like maybe God wanted us to come here and pray. I said, would you care if we'd go in the church there and pray? And he kind of stuttered a little bit, and he said, well, no. He said, that'd be fine. We got in there, and we got to have an office prayer meeting about midnight in a Church of God at a midnight hour on a Saturday night. We was a-praying. Them boys a-praying, shouting, running the aisles. I'm talking about that Church of God preacher just stood back there wide-eyed and looked at us and watched us. Scared him to death. After we got through praying, we thanked him. Said, thank you, preacher, for letting us come in here. We got there. I found this out through the grapevine the next day on Sunday. That old preacher got up and in front of his congregation, he said, church, I had something happen to me last night. I ain't never had nothing like that happen to me in my life. Yeah. He said, I was out here changing the letters on the church sign at 11:30 at night, and a carload of preacher boys pulled up and said God had sent them here to pray. And he said, they got in here, and he said, I ain't never heard praying like that in all my life. He said, I believe God wants to help us. Amen. I got news for you. He does want to help us tonight. He does want to send revival. Hallelujah to His name. But I promise you this, when you've been doing stuff like that, you don't have to worry about being dry when the choir goes to singing about how God saves old sinners. Hallelujah to His name. You don't have to worry about that. We would, a lot of times we'd go preach in places. We'd go down, they had a big place down Johnson City, Freedom Hall Civic Center, and they would have rock concerts down there, these big groups like AC/DC and Metallica and all these groups, just really bad groups. Well, we decided we'd go down there and preach. There'd be about three of us load up in a car with a Bible under our arm, and about they'd be standing outside. They wouldn't open the doors and let them in right away, and they'd be the biggest crowd still I've ever preached to in my life was at an AC/DC concert. They were waiting to get in. They couldn't get in because they hadn't opened the doors. I had a captive audience. And I preached. I said, you're going to hear a group that's telling, they're going to sing a song about I'm on the highway to hell. Let me tell you how to get off of it.
Amen.
I said, there's a man named Jesus that'll save you. Now, I wouldn't recommend that for the faint of heart. Because if you go in there to preach, you ain't going to get many amens. But I know why God used to send me to them places to preach. Because He knew, He said, listen, if He can stare down the AC/DC crowd, some old dry-eyed, crusty Baptist giving him a mean look from the pew won't faze him. Amen. Can I say to you, praise God, we need God to send a daily revival to stir us and remove the dryness in our life. I got to look at this, and it says not only will it get rid of the dryness, but it'll remove the deadness. You see, when the skin cells get dry, they die, and you got to get them off. He said it'll get the deadness out. I said, Lord, every church I go to just seems like they need a little bit of the deadness removed.
Yes, sir.
I'll never forget when I was just a young pastor there at Dyson Grove Baptist Church. The church had just started growing, and we was, you know, pretty good little crowd of coming. And I like folks to amen me when I preach. Yes. Now, I'm not shy about that. I like to know, and I know not everybody's vocal, and some churches are not, and I've found this to be true. You can't equate the Spirit being there just in noise.
Right.
I've been in some places where they didn't say a word, but the Holy Ghost presence of God was there.
Yeah.
A lot of people think it's just all in noise. Right. But boy, I sure like it when the Spirit of God's there, and they'll amen you a little bit too.
Yes, sir.
But anyway, I'd been preaching some, and the amen started dying down a little bit, and I was getting a little aggravated by that. And one Sunday, I was getting ready for church, and there at the house, and down in the basement of my house where I keep my tools and stuff, I went down there and I had a long-handled shovel like you dig a ditch with, and I put that shovel in my car and I took it to church with me. I walked in that day and I leaned it up against the pulpit before the service, and everybody come in, everybody's looking, and they say, what in the world's a preacher? They know I like to illustrate things and use things like that, and they're just thinking, what in the world's he going to preach on with that shovel today? And I just listened to him whisper and talk about it, and I didn't say nothing about it. Choir sang that day, and it come time for preaching. I got up. The shovel still leaned up against the pulpit. I said, turn in your Bibles. I told them where to turn to. I said, now, I need to clear something up today. I said, some of y'all have been really wondering about this shovel. I said, it has nothing to do with the message today. Not one thing. I'm not using it as an illustration. I'm not preaching on anything that I'm going to use it as an illustration in. I said, but the reason it's here is this. I said, where I'm from, anything that's dead ought to be buried. And I said, unless some of y'all liven up today, I'm digging a hole and throwing dirt on you today. You say, you didn't say that. I did. That's crazy. Young preachers are crazy. They'll say anything. They will. I did. You say, what'd they do? They started amening. Praise God. If somebody threatened, if somebody brings a shovel and said, I'm going to bury you if you don't liven up, then praise God. Can I say to you, though, I'm glad a good daily revival, an old-fashioned refreshing from the throne of God will get the deadness out of our life. I was preaching in a revival meeting several years ago in Dallas, North Carolina, right next to Gastonia down there. And I was in a pretty good church, about 150 people, and they were amening while I was preaching. And I was preaching along. All of a sudden, there's a fella took a shouting spell. I'm talking about he was in the glory. And I was preaching, and I kind of started looking the crowd over to see if I could tell where he was sitting, because, man, he was having a time. I couldn't never spot him, so I kept preaching. I preached on a little bit, and in a few minutes, he struck up again, had the awfulest spell you've ever heard in your life. I'm talking about, I said, I don't know where that guy's at, but I want to get where he's at, because he's under the spout where the glory's coming out.
Amen.
And he done that three times while I was preaching. And that night after the service, I was talking to the pastor. I said, Pastor, thank you for letting me come. I said, it's been a blessing to be here. But I said, I got to ask you a question. That man that got so happy while I was preaching, I said, where was he sitting? I said, I couldn't see him in the crowd. The crowd was pretty good size. I said, where was he sitting? And the preacher looked at me and he grinned real big and he said, well, just to be honest with you, preacher, he wasn't here. I said, what do you mean he wasn't here? I said, I heard him shout. He said, no. He said, I've got that on tape. And he said, every time you'd say something I really liked, I'd nod my head at the sound man, and he'd hit play. You can't make this stuff up. You say, what'd you say? I said, is there any way I can get a copy of that tape? I said, preachers all over this country would pay good money for it. If we could rig it up somehow or another, we got a button on the back of the pulpit. It's when we need it the most. But praise God, I'm going to tell you something right now. Whatever we got to do to get somebody to praise God, if it's put in a tape, I say put it in. We're way behind on our praising. We're way behind on our shouting. Can I say to you, an old-fashioned daily revival, hallelujah, get the deadness out, amen. I don't know about you. I like them saints of God that just come already bubbling over. You don't have to pump them and prime them. I had a little lady in my church. She's in heaven now. One of the best prayer warriors I ever knew in my life. She prayed for me nonstop. She went home with the Lord. She was in her 90s. When I was a little boy in school, she was the school lunch lady. And I'd go through and as a little boy, and she'd give me my meal. And little did I know, or did she know, that later in life I'd end up being her pastor. I'll never forget one day she's one of them little shouting weight ladies. She didn't have to have nobody pump her or prime her. Miss Ida was her name, and she grabbed me, and when she'd get happy, it's like her face would glow, just like a glow like you'd see, and she'd just get so happy, and she grabbed me and hugged me, weeping. She said, Brother Leonard, she said, you're the best pastor I've ever had in my life, and she loved me so much. But I'll never forget one Wednesday night, we were at the church, and you know how Wednesday night services are. Sometimes they're doing good just to get there. They've worked hard all day. They're tired in body, but they're there faithful. And sometimes That night I was doing the announcements. I hadn't read any scripture, hadn't preached or anything. I was just reading the announcements. And you know how spiritual that is.
Right.
Not very spiritual at all. And I'm reading the announcements. And all of a sudden I heard something in the pews. And I looked up. And Miss Ida is standing up in the pews and she's clapping her hands. And she's looking up like she's looking into the face of God and had that shine on her face. And I watched that little lady reach up and pull heaven down in a service. And for the next 2 hours, we can't even tell you all that really did happen, but the altars filled up so many times and people got right with God, people got saved, and it all started with a little saint that came on a Wednesday night and nobody didn't have to pump her a primer. She had done had her daily revival at the house. Amen. I got news for you. That's what our churches need. That's what our homes need. That's what our communities need. And it starts with us daily with God. Amen. He'll remove the deadness. And then last of all, this product says if you use it long enough, it'll display itself on your countenance. In other words, you know how the journey takes a toll? I'm getting to the age now, I'm having to look at stuff like this right here. Yeah, you know, you just don't look like you did when you was 25. But this says if you use this, it'll put the glow back on your face. It'll put a shine. I think about that, when I think about that shine, I think about Moses when he came down off of the mount with God, when he'd been up there getting the Ten Commandments, the Word of God. The Bible said Moses came down off the mountain, and he wist not that the skin of his face shone. Matter of fact, he had a shine about him, and he didn't even know it. But everybody that saw him knew it, because they was afraid of him. I promise you this, if you get really revived, there'll be some people be afraid of you too. Preachers have experienced this for years. You can walk in the old, you know, the hangout store, and they're all in there just shooting the breeze, and let the preacher walk in, and all of a sudden it gets quiet. And then next thing you know, they're filtering out. Like we got the plague or something. No, they just can't. That shine bothers them, preacher. That shine bothers them. I got news for you. We need some people that's got that shine. We need some people that not only are saved in their heart and in their soul, but it shows on their face.
Amen.
A few years ago, there was I'll tell this one more story. One of our ladies, our church, we practice this. We try to encourage it. We want people to worship when they come, like
Amen. You
do, preacher.
Yeah.
I appreciate folks around here. These testimony stuff, I appreciate that. That's my kind of crowd.
Yeah.
Our church, they kind of, some of them got to mocking us. And there's a lady, one of our ladies over at one place, and they was talking about where they went to church. And they asked her, said, where you go to church? She said, I go to Dyson Grove Baptist Church. And said that lady, she went to another place and said she kind of turned her nose up. She said, oh, you go to that happy church.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
She thought she was insulting that lady. I said, that's the greatest compliment that anybody you could pay you is that you go to a happy church. Because trust me, I preach in churches all over this country. They ain't been happy in the last 40 years. But thank God for a people that are saved and act like they are, and it shows on their face, and it shows in their life. Hallelujah to His name. That's what this lost world's looking for. It's going to start. I wish I could tell you that I had revival in a bottle and I could give every one of you a bottle of it here tonight. You could take it home and apply it. But the fact of the matter is, it's in that book. You just got to apply it. If you'll apply it, God will send revival on a daily basis. Father, we thank you for what you've done for us tonight. I pray, God, that you'd touch us and help us. Lord, thank you for these people tonight. Lord, their receptive hearts to your word. I pray, God, would you help us all, Lord, that we'd draw near to you. Lord, all of us need a refreshing. All of us need a reviving. Lord, we need a rejuvenation. Lord, make those old things look new again. God, I ask you tonight that you'd help us. in this place. Father, speak to every heart, I pray, in the name of Jesus, and we'll thank you. Let's stand tonight with our heads bowed, and I want to ask the musicians to come.